The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew.
Glory to you, O
Lord.
As Jesus and his disciples were gathering in Galilee, Jesus said to them, "The Son of Man is to be handed over to men, and they will kill him. And on the third day he will be raised." And they were overwhelmed with grief. When they came to Capernaum, the tax collectors of the temple tax approached Peter and said, "Does your teacher not pay the temple tax?" "Yes," Peter replied. When he came into the house, before he had time to speak, Jesus said to him, "Simon, what is your opinion? For whom do the kings of the earth take tolls or census tax? From their subjects or from foreigners?" When he said, "From foreigners," Jesus said to him, "Then the subjects are exempt. But that we may not offend them, go to the sea, drop in a hook, and take the first fish that comes up. Open its mouth, and you will find a coin worth twice the temple tax. Give that to them for me and for you." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
One of the most important things that we need to capture as believers is to keep before our eyes God's power and God's mercy. A lot of the times the problems happen when people, for example, emphasize one without the other. They'll emphasize God's power, His rendering justice, the authentic fear we should have to offend the Lord, and they might run away from the side of mercy. They might look to God more or less like the Muslims look at Allah, as a slave master, and they're just a slave supposed to be doing Islam, submission to that master, that there's no real tenderness. Or people can emphasize God's mercy so much without His justice that, kind of like in yesterday's gospel where they said, "Our master's long delayed, let us eat, drink, and be merry, for we have plenty of time to change later." They go even worse than that. Let's live a continual orgy. It doesn't matter what God does. God loves me, and therefore He'll forgive me anything I do, no matter how presumptuous I am about His mercy. It's important for us to emphasize 100% of both. In today's first reading, we see God emphasizing both. He describes His strength, that the heavens, even the highest heavens, belong to the Lord, as He had Moses remind the Israelites. "For the Lord your God is the God of gods, the Lord of lords, the great God, mighty and awesome." Moses reminded them of all the incredible works of power He did to free them from Egypt. We need to remember truly who the Lord is and His justice. Later on, He says, He executes justice for the orphan and the widow. He befriends the alien, feeding and clothing them. So you also must do the same. You know, Pope Benedict stressed very much during his pontificate, God's justice. It's the thing for which those who are being subjected to such injustice long. You know, if somebody's beating on you with all types of evil, one of the great hopes is always that God will settle those accounts, that at the end of time, those who have done this aren't going to be treated the same way as those who loved. Justice is one of the most important things we need to remember about God. But then there's also the other side, the tender mercy of God, who has no favorites, accepts no bribes, befriends even the strangers, feeding and clothing them. "So you shall fear and serve the Lord, holding fast to Him and swearing by His name, but also approach the Lord, someone who, even though he is that mighty and awesome and powerful, has chosen us. Just as Moses said, he had chosen the people and their descendants, preference to all other people. That God, Moses says, is our glory. It's a total both and, not a 50-50 between his justice and his mercy, but 100 and 100 in that balance. So we come to the gospel. We see Jesus essentially illustrating the same point. When they come to the Lord and say to him, or say to Peter, to try to trip Jesus, they wanted to catch him. Does your master pay the temple tax? Now, it was decreed in the book of Exodus that every year, once they had a temple, every adult male would pay a temple tax of a half shekel, which was basically 2 days worth of work. Everybody across that would pay for all of the upkeep of the temple. So they came and they wanted to find something on which they could criticize Jesus. So they asked Peter, and Peter stupidly, before even asking Jesus, said, "Of course he pays the temple tax." But Jesus was aware of the conversation. So he asked this question: "What's your opinion, Simon? Who pays taxes? The princes and the princesses, or all the subjects?" Easy, straightaway question. The king never taxed his own kids. The temple was Jesus' father's house. He had no duty to pay that temple tax. And Simon got the answer correct. But he said, "Lest we scandalize anyone, go fish." Peter's work. First fish you catch, you know the story. You'll catch the coin for double the temple tax and pay it for me and you. He was stressing the union between the papacy and Christ. But at the same point, he was showing his divine power. So first, mercy, lest he scandalize anyone, lest anyone take offense, as if we shouldn't be paying for the upkeep of the temple because Jesus isn't paying for the upkeep of the temple. Jesus didn't want to scandalize everyone. Mercifully, he was going to pay it. But he was also going to do it out of his own power. Ultimately, Jesus would pay the temple tax with his own body and blood. And he would become that temple. And he does require a tax. It's a tax, not of a half shekel. It's not a tax of a silver dollar. It's a tax of our own body and blood. Do this in memory of me. That's ultimately what happens. And then we become in him that temple in which God is welcomed, loved, and adored. Today the church celebrates the feast of Saint Jean de Chantal, the founders of the Visitation Sisters, with the help of Saint Francis de Sales. She is one who sought to live by these principles. First, God's incredible majesty, God's incredible drawing power. She was a young widow. Her husband had died. He was shot by a friend by accident on a hunting expedition. And so after several months of mourning, she began to wonder what was next. Eventually, she met Saint Francis de Sales. And she felt the powerful call of God against the culture of the time to found a new religious order. And she did, and it's a religious order that remains very strong, monastic until this day. But it was a religious order that likewise was meant to live by the mercy of the Lord. It took the name of the Visitation because all of us are supposed to take Christ to others. There's a particular beauty for the Visitation Sisters who are cloistered. Many in the world think that they just go away and they absent themselves from the world and they lock the key and they forget about us. In fact, they go to the monastery precisely in order to bring the Lord to us, specifically through their prayers for the world, praying for God's almighty power as well as his mercy. on the entire world. Today, as we pay the temple tax with our life, just as Saint Jean de Chantal and the Visitation Sisters always have, let us ask the Lord to place in Him our true glory and His power that always renders justice but also brings mercy, just as we see when we look at perfect justice on the cross and also perfect mercy. Jesus paid our punishment that God justly executed, but He did so out of mercy, so that we could join Him on that cross and do the same double action for the human race, which will be the greatest way that we magnify God's glory, just like Mary did in that scene of the Visitation that the Visitation Sisters will never let us forget. Praise be Jesus Christ.